If you have your Bibles with you, we're turning to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a well-known prophecy. We're looking at verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 7. Of course, one of the early prophecies in the Old Testament of the virgin birth is actually found in the book of Genesis. I think it's Genesis chapter 3. But we're looking at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And this is what God's word says. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. To trust in something or someone can either be a good choice or it can be a bad choice. Joel sometimes will jump into my arms. And what a feeling that is to grab your young son when he jumps into your arms. Joel trusts me as his father. He knows that I will catch him. And in Isaiah chapter 7, we also notice this theme of trust. Isaiah lived in Jerusalem and was married and had two sons. And of course, one of the sons is mentioned here because Isaiah goes to speak to the king. And we know that that son's name means a remnant shall return. Now, we don't have time to get into that this morning. That's probably a separate study in itself. But no doubt I believe Isaiah was a well-educated man. He was certainly a very good speaker. But one thing about Isaiah and his family was this. They had access to the nation's leaders. Other prophets primarily spoke to the ordinary Joe Bloggs. And they would have spoken to different people. But Isaiah had this real influence with the leaders. And in verse 3 of Isaiah, God says to Isaiah, go and speak to this king. Go and speak to this king. Now, we read about King Ahaz in Chronicles. I think there's even a mention possibly in Judges. I stand to be corrected with that. There's also a mention of King Ahaz in 2 Kings chapter 16. And we get the measure of this man. We get the measure of this man when we read 2 Kings chapter 16. He wasn't a good king. In fact, he was an evil king. He was into idolatry. He was into human sacrifice. He was into all kinds of stuff that was totally and utterly against God. And to give you a sort of synopsis here of this portion of scripture here in Isaiah chapter 7. Basically, what's happening here is that King Ahaz is confronted with a struggle. He's confronted with a struggle with allied forces of northern Israel and Syria. And since it looked like the southern kingdom would lose, the people began to wonder if they could survive this battle. Doesn't that show you how far these people had gone away from God? Doesn't it show you the relationship that they had with God? Not a very good one. It's quite clear that King Ahaz was terrified. This man was shaking in his boots. And Isaiah is told by God to go and to reassure him. And the thing to remember here is that Isaiah didn't claim to speak about God, but instead speak for God. You see, when Isaiah spoke, it was God speaking. Imagine having a testimony like that. Imagine having a testimony like that. That when we speak, it's God. Isaiah had a special relationship with God. Don't we need that today, friends? Don't we need that closer walk with God? I know I do. Imagine having a wonderful testimony like that. Is that not something as believers in the meeting that we should be craving? To be used of God in that way. To have that pure heart and to have that clean hands and to be instruments in His hands. That's what I believe Isaiah was. He was an instrument. He was a tool for the Master. But you know, in this passage of Scripture, we learn that King Ahaz has choices to make. Who will he trust? Does he trust God? Or will he trust his own human resource? Isn't it true, friends, that quite often we allow what our eyes see to make our decisions? At times we allow the circumstances to make our choices for us. I have done it. And notice in verse 3 in Isaiah chapter 7, look where Isaiah meets King Ahaz. Look at verse 3. He meets him at some sort of water supply. What's he doing there? I think King Ahaz, and I stand to be corrected in this, but I think King Ahaz is checking his water supply. The fear has got to him. The threat has got to him. And he is preparing for a long drawn out siege. I would say this man is making plans. I would say this man is checking his water supply because he's in for a long siege. That's just me saying that. It seems a smart thing to do, doesn't it? If you're preparing for a siege, what's the thing you need to check for? Your water wells or your water supply? But friends, the thing to remember is, this might be a natural thing for any king or any leader of a nation to do. But should it be the case or the response of someone who comes from the house of David? Should it? That's a question to think about this morning. You see, in verse 4, God wants Isaiah to make it clear that the king is not to fear. He's not to be faint-hearted. And the reason God is saying this is because in verse 7, he says that the threat will not stand. This threat will come to nothing. It's not going to come to pass. And again, God makes it clear to Ahaz in verse 11, where he says, ask a sign of me. Ask a sign of me. How much reassurance does King Ahaz need? God is telling Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah, I can bring you comfort. I can help you. I can give you a sign. Don't be fearing these enemies. Don't be getting yourself in a tizzy. Don't be panicking over the situation. Who are you trusting, Ahaz? Who are you putting your hope in today? I'm reminded this morning of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Over the last wee while, I've been thinking about Psalm 23 a lot. What a wonderful psalm. And I love verse 5 of that psalm. You preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This verse has been of help to me this year. This verse has been an encouragement to me this year. You see, this verse teaches us that no matter what surrounds us, no matter what is before us, no matter what frightens us, no matter what makes us insecure, whatever gives us sleepless nights, whatever makes me anxious, whatever distracts me, whatever sickness comes my way, whatever problem of life comes in like a flood, whatever those circumstances are, isn't it wonderful to know that nothing can drag me away from the Good Shepherd? Isn't it wonderful to know, friends, that we're under the shadow of His wings? We are the apple of His eye. If you are saved in this meeting this morning, and you take nothing else from this meeting today, be encouraged by that. If you're a believer, you're under the shadow of the Almighty. You are the apple of His eye. And no enemy can remove us from that table. Wonderful. And maybe we do have concerns. Maybe we are worried what's round the corner. Don't be fearful. The Good Shepherd's in control. The Good Shepherd is guiding and leading. And He is with us. What are we trusting in today, friends? Are we trusting the Good Shepherd? Are we trusting the Good Shepherd to make the circumstances right? Where is our hope? Where is our faith this morning? I trust that we are looking for that strong tower. I trust we're looking for that refuge and that shelter in Christ. You see, no enemy of the soul can take us away from that table in Psalm 23, verse 5. We are the Lord's. We are His. Is it not better to trust in the Lord and then put confidence in man? Do you believe this morning? Do you take Him at His word? This was Ahaz's problem. Totally against God. Totally against God. But you know, sometimes the believers can get onto the slippery slope, can't they? Do we take God at His word? Do we believe in the promises of Scripture? It's easy to say it, isn't it? It's easy to sit in the pew or easy to stand up here and say that. But are we living examples of that? It's been a strange year. It's been a strange, strange year. It's been a strange year in ministry, the CEF. It's been a strange year here in the fellowship, hasn't it? But praise God this morning that He's still on the throne. No matter what enemies, no matter what comes our way, we're still the Lord's. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. When life seems to be falling apart, when governments don't seem to know what they're doing, isn't it good to know that God does? Isn't it good to know, friends? Does that not thrill your heart this morning? Knowing that the Creator God, the one that we're in a relationship with, is in control. Has this planned out? Look, friends, we're passing through here. We are passing through. We'll be with the Lord someday. You know, the mountains can fall into the sea. The enemy can surround us in different forms. We can be weary. But praise God this morning that there are still wonderful blessings when we walk with the Lord. You see, if we aren't firm in our faith, you're not going to be firm at all. How could you? How could you stand in this world? How could you live life without God? Is God's word our foundation this morning? You see, as believers, God's word needs to be our foundation. Because that's how the vessels are built up. That's how the vessels stand the pressure. You know, if you're looking for solutions, trying to plan things out in your own way, if you're trying to figure out how to get rid of those enemies before that table, you're not trusting the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said this: "We shall not grow weary of waiting upon God if we remember how long and how graciously He once waited for us." But look at this man, King Ahaz, in verse 12. Look at his response. And how sad it is. Look what he says. "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." What a statement. What a statement to come out of his mouth. Ahaz effectively was saying, "I don't need God. I don't need the God of David." Do you see how far they have moved? "I don't need the God of David. I'm trusting in my own ideas. I'm trusting in my own solutions. I'm not involving God in this issue. I don't want to prove Him. Why would I place my trust in God and His word? Why would I place the security and safety of my people in a God that I cannot see?" Sad. And we know from other references in Scripture, and I touched on some of them at the start this morning, why Ahaz said this. We know why he said it. Read some of the other Old Testament books. Because this man was going to do a deal with Assyria. This man was going to place his trust and his hope elsewhere. placing his hope and his trust in something other than God was going to have a ripple effect in that nation. We know how it goes, don't we? Here we have King Ahaz from the house of David placing his faith in an enemy over God. He would place his trust in Assyria, which would be fatal. That would be a fatal blow. This would be catastrophic for the nation. Because he would enter a covenant with them. No doubt there would be godless influences from Assyria. And this would be pivotal. This would be a pivotal point. I'll come to that in a wee minute. But look at verse 11 and verse 13. We can see how God is reacting to this. Because in verse 11, the prophet of the Lord says this, "From the Lord your God." But then when King Ahaz makes up his mind who he is trusting, the prophet Isaiah in verse 13 states this, "But will you weary my God also?" Is God distancing himself from King Ahaz here? You know, friends, I looked down this morning from this pulpit. And I don't wish to make this, I don't wish to sound patronizing. But we all look the part, don't we? We're all nicely dressed. We're all looking well. And I know you're smiling at me. I know you are. But you are all friendly people. Even the father-in-law. But yet this morning, this church is split in two. Do you know that? This church is split in two. And I don't mean because there's two wings. No. There's a split here in Monkstown Baptist Church. On one side of the divide, we have those who love the Lord. And on the other side, there are those who don't know Christ yet. I love the man John Harper. John Harper was a Baptist minister in Scotland. I've mentioned this before. Go and read about him. A real interesting character. And John Harper, we know, lost his life on the Titanic. And after the disaster of the Titanic, on the pier side, they had a notice board. And it read this: "Lost and rescued. Lost and rescued." You could change that, couldn't you? Found and lost. And friends, this morning you can look the part, you can smile, and you can talk the talk. But you know yourself whether you're right with the Lord or not. You know what side of the house you're on. Friends, what if this was the last time you were to hear the plea from the pulpit? You need to be saved. What was that? What if that was the last time you were to hear that? What if this is the last time that God spoke to you? Where would you spend eternity? Lost or rescued? Who will you place your faith and trust in this morning? Where will it be? You see, friends, that something or that someone won't keep you out of hell. That something or someone won't stop you going to hell. But there's someone that will stop you going to hell. Do you know him? Are you saved? Why wouldn't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Why would you not come to Him? He can rescue you. He can save you. When people on the Titanic realized they were perishing, they were scrambling to get into lifeboats. They were scrambling to save their own lives. And yet, friends, today, without Christ, you're on a path that leads to death. But you know this morning, friends, that there's a way out. You know that somebody can take you off that path. But yet you're still not saved. Why wouldn't you come to Jesus? He's made a way for you. I need to move on. Time's going quickly. You see, this covenant with Assyria is not only going to cause chaos and judgment. And this is the point I was coming back to this morning. It's going to cause deportation. It's going to cause the land to be invaded and occupied. What a disaster. All because Ahaz failed to put his trust in God. All because Ahaz made a bad choice in who he put his trust in. You see, we know the history, don't we? Assyria invaded. Then Babylon. Medo Persia. Greece. And then when Christ was born, who he occupied? It was the Romans. Does this not teach us this morning to be careful to make wise choices? Will you make a wise choice this morning and come to Christ? You see, friends, whether Ahaz wanted a sign or not, he said he wasn't interested. But that didn't matter. Because God was going to give a future confirmation sign that he has the power to deliver. And this sign and message would be performed long after Ahaz had died. And what would that sign be? What would that message be? We'll go to verse 14 that we've read this morning. You see, this message would be fulfilled approximately 620 years later. And what a message it was. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. What a prophecy. What a sign. We read in the New Testament, Matthew 1 and 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Usually when the word behold is used in a verse like this, it comes before an announcement of significance. The word virgin here is used, as I understand it, as a young, pure, unmarried woman. Or unwedded young woman. And although Isaiah doesn't tell us who the young woman was, we see through the Gospel of Matthew that it is a woman called Mary. No doubt this was a shock to the system. No doubt this was a shock to the system, to Mary and Joseph. And I'm sure it was hard for them. They weren't married. Now, in those days, there was a betrothal period, a bit like an engagement. Now, the way that worked was a marriage, in essence, was agreed. And the legalities were sorted out there and then. And so in the eyes of the law, you would have been married, but the bride would stay with her household. So the bride would go away and would spend time in her household. And that's what Mary probably, that's what people would do. And the groom would be making plans for their home. So Joseph would go and would make plans for their home. And after a set time, the groom would go and take his bride and would become one household. They would have a feast and a celebration to mark that event. So effectively, there was a legal marriage. And then there was a time, I suppose, to help show the proving of the purity of the bride. And these arrangements could last up to nearly a year in some cases. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." God told Ahaz back in Isaiah 7 not to fear. But Ahaz did not trust. And here was the opposite. Joseph is told by God not to fear. But Joseph was a just man and he did trust God. And God would guide and direct and bring him through all this. Why? Well, notice that the son of David is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. You see, Joseph, the son of David, was going to play his part in preparing the groundwork of the great promise and great message that was to follow. You see, this child was going to fulfill another prophecy, that Jesus would come from the line of King David. And the lowly aftermath of King Ahaz's decision would cause the kingship to fall out of the hands of the line of David in Israel. God would not forsake his promise. He wouldn't forget that a ruler would sit on David's throne and would rule. You see, there's no shadow of doubt that this virgin called Mary gave birth to the Son of God. There's no doubt. It happened. This was the light of the world. The only virgin born child to live. The greatest miracle. What a miracle. But yet I believe the greatest miracle with regards to the virgin birth wasn't perhaps maybe the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. But no. Instead it was the child born Emmanuel. God with us. This child would be God the Son. This child would be the eternal God. This child would take on human nature as well as the divine nature. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, friends, the prophecy was fulfilled. God's promise to send his one and only Son into the world was fulfilled. God can be trusted. And because Jesus came, we now can say, Emmanuel, God is with us. And one of the wonderful things in the Christian walk is that when we get saved, God comes and dwells in our vessels. He's with us. He's with us when the enemies are surrounding us. He's with us when we're in a tight spot. God is with us. Are we trusting him today? Isn't it wonderful to know that Emmanuel fights for us? Isn't it wonderful to know that Emmanuel protects us? Isn't it wonderful to know that Emmanuel wants us to cast everything upon him because he cares for us? God knows what you're going through, beloved. God knows all about it. God wants to help you. God wants to sustain you. And God will bring you free through these difficult times. Emmanuel, God is with us.